had said that we are all on a pilgrimage. From the moment we are born, we began a journey of discovery and learning. But even more than that, we began a journey to satisfy a restlessness in our hearts. And every single human being at some point will recognize that there is this deeper longing inside of us that nothing here on earth seems to fill. This morning we are going to look at Psalm 84 and see that it is natural to have this deep longing in our hearts. The question for us all to consider is this: what are we longing for? The message today is meant to be more interactive, or as the late theologian and university professor Robert Weber called it, we are going to do liturgy. Professor Weber defined liturgy to be the work of the people. So this morning we are going to go through Psalm 84 together, and it will be our liturgy. It will be the work of us. It will lead us through three parts. In part one, we'll read some selected verses together from Psalm 84. The words will appear on the screen. In part two, I'll make some comments about what we've read. And then in part three, we're going to follow some unique directions given by the writer of Psalm 84. So if you have your bulletins, actually on the back of your bulletins, the text is printed there, or you can look it up in your Bible. I'm using the New Living Translation on the back of your bulletins. And the screen will be, or the text will appear on the screen as well. So if you have that bulletin flipped over, you'll notice that there are actually two breaks in the text, after verse 4 and after verse 8. And in some of your Bibles, the English word interlude appears in that break, or also another word, salah, which is Hebrew. In regards to the Hebrew word salah, there are a few different thoughts among scholars as to what salah means. And although scholars do agree that when the word salah appears in a poem or a song, which is the book of Psalms, it is meant to require something of the audience. Here are some of the Hebrew meanings related to the word salah, and you will notice that they will help us to understand what we should be doing in this break. Salah, to pause, to measure or weigh, to consider or ponder, and to praise. All three of these meanings are good practices on their own, but I think when you put all three together, they are even richer. I call them the three P's: pause, ponder, praise. So this morning, as we work through Psalm 84, when we see the word interlude or salah, I will lead us through a time where we will pause in silence. We will then ponder what God has said in those four verses that we've read together, and then we will sing in praise. The text this morning will appear, oh, I already said this, I'm repeating myself already, on the screen. There it is, that's what I wanted. The title, Psalm 84, and the superscript. One of the interesting details about the Psalms is that at the top of many of them are there instructions on what we're supposed to do with them or how they're to be used. In the case of Psalm 84, we know from the information provided under the title, which appears up there, in little print, the psalm was written to the descendants of Korah, who were the tribe of the Levitical priest commissioned to lead the worship life of Israel. We're also told that it was written to the choir director and was to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. So whether the psalm was to be sung to music or there was music was to be played while it was read, we're not sure. But we're going to use our creativity this morning and include music in those moments of silence. So the text is going to appear on the screen, and I just invite you to join me in reading this out loud together. Let's read. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. It is clear from these first four verses that the writer of this psalm is homesick. You know what? Actually, he's lovesick. At first, it seems like he is just longing for the dwelling place of the Lord, which at that time of history was only found in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But we quickly learn that his longing for the temple courts, it's not because he loves the building, but it's because it is where the presence of the living God is. And this longing isn't a wistful feeling like we get when we want to go to the mall. It is an intense aching that has consumed his entire being, his body, and his soul. The writer's heart for God's presence is revealed even further as he describes a memory of a time that he saw a swallow who had built her nest by the altar and a sparrow in the actual temple courts in Jerusalem, right near the altar where the people would gather to give their offerings and worship God. And every time he heard the sparrow and the swallows chirping, it was as if they were singing praises in God's presence. That is the best way that he can communicate his longing for God's presence. That his greatest joy would be to be like those birds who lived in the house of God, singing his praises always. Thankfully for us today, it is no longer like it was in the Old Testament, where only a specific day a chosen priest could enter into the most holy place inside the temple to be in God's presence. Listen to these words from the New Testament scriptures, Hebrews chapter 4. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We will now take our first interlude or salah in the text and do the liturgy, the work of the people. First, we will pause. We will quiet ourselves. In these moments of silence, I invite you to take your bulletin and to read the first four verses of Psalm 84 just silently to yourself. I'm going to leave some space in there, so if you get to read over it a few times, I would encourage you just to read the first four verses of Psalm 84. Let's do that. Into part two, ponder. Reflecting on the first four verses, I invite you to silently ask God to reveal to you what your deepest longing is for. I'll give a few moments of silence, and then we'll carry on. Into our third part, our third movement, our response to God in song. Spirit, living breath of God. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my ailing soul. Let the presence of the risen Lord. Set of verses from Psalm 84. Let's read together. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. In the first four verses, the writer introduced the purpose of the psalm to express his longing for the presence of God. And he used the swallow and the sparrow living in the temple courts to express the joy that anyone could know from living and singing in God's presence. In verses 5 to 8, the writer gives another example of what longing for his presence, for God's presence, is like. It is like a hiker. It is like a person who is on a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. A pilgrimage is when a person chooses to take a journey to a sacred place. Usually these sacred destinations, like the temple of God in Jerusalem, was hundreds of miles away from the pilgrim's home. And commonly a pilgrimage was done by foot and could take many months just to travel one way. To travel this many miles would mean that the path of the pilgrimage would be through any and all types of terrain, possibly through foreign lands. It would also put the traveler in the face of danger. Anything was possible, from health problems to wild animals to bandits or thieves to the harsh elements of weather. We have to put ourselves in the sandals of a person on a pilgrimage. They are traveling to a sacred site because they are so passionate about worshiping in that place. A person who goes on a pilgrimage has to be passionate to worship God in order to risk their life, leave behind their family in some cases, quit their job, knowing that there's a good chance they may not even make it to Jerusalem, or for that matter, even make it home. They literally gave their lives to make the journey. This is what the writer wants us to feel. He has taken us into the mind of a person on a pilgrimage, someone who is deeply committed to God, someone who would do anything to remain faithful to God, someone whose longing to worship in the sacred place is so intense that they would risk everything to make the journey just to be in God's presence. Imagine the longing that the pilgrim would feel in their hearts as they dreamt about arriving in the temple months after months of traveling. This is the longing the writer is feeling. The pilgrim is someone who relies on God for the strength to take the next step when they want to quit. Someone who looks to God for protection when they encounter difficulties. And in this case, the writer mentions the valley of weeping. In the Hebrew text, the valley of weeping is called the valley of Baca. And if you look up the valley of Baca in the Bible, you will find it in a story in Judges 2, which is about the disobedience of Israel in refusing to obey God and drive out the wicked nations living in Canaan, which was the land that God wanted to give his people. So God disciplined them, and the location of that event is referred to as the Valley of Weeping. I think the writer refers to the Valley of Weeping because he wants us to realize that on the pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem, every traveler will find themselves at some point in a dry and parched valley. In other words, they will try to make the journey to God on their own strength. Remember, this psalm is about longing for God. And in the example of the disobedience of Israel in the Valley of Weeping, the people of Israel had chosen to disobey God, to try and make the pilgrimage to God without God. So the Valley of Weeping is a reminder that if we choose to try to travel without God, we're actually sinning against him. And this disobedience will lead us away from God. It literally leaves us feeling dry and parched, like the ground in late summer. But when we remain reliant and obedient to God, he will refresh us, just like those autumn rains that he poured out on the dry ground. The journey to God can only be accomplished with God. As we set our minds to remain in God's presence on this journey, we will experience God's refreshing rains instead of the dry, parched desert of separation from Him. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7 says how we will accomplish this. When God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And because of His grace, He declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. We will now take our second interlude, or Selah in the text, and do the liturgy, the work of the people. First, we pause. We quiet ourselves. I invite you to take your bulletin and read verses 5 to 8, just silently to yourself in the next moment. Ponder, part 2. Reflecting on those verses 5 to 8 that you just read, I invite you to silently ask God to reveal to you if you have tried to make the journey to Him without Him. I'll give a few moments of silence. Part 3, a response of worship to God. Sing with me, Holy Spirit. Come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Kindness to the greatest and the least, gentleness that sows the path of peace, turn my strivings into works of grace, breath of God, show Christ in all. Verse 9 leads us into the conclusion of the psalm. I invite you to please join me as we read the last. O God, look with favor upon the King, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. At first, verse 9 can kind of seem out of place. But in the context of this time in history, the writer not only longs for the blessing of God's presence for himself, he prays for it for his king. The king was seen as God's chosen anointed representative, so any favor that God would bestow upon the king meant it would also be a blessing to the nation as well. This example of also wanting the king to know God's blessing is a good reminder for us to never give up praying for one another on our journeys. To pray specifically for each other that God would be the light when the path of life seems dark. That God would be our protector in the valley of weeping, from the pull of our own sinful desires, and from Satan, the evil one himself. but also to never forget to pray for those in our families, in our friendship circles, and our work relationships, who are traveling through life without realizing there is an end destination. Who will be their strength in the valley of weeping? Who will make sure they arrive at the end destination when every tribe, of every nation, of every tongue will stand before God? Let's do our part to pray for God's favor, that they too would know the presence of God. In the closing last three verses, the writer offers two final examples to describe his longing to be in the Lord's presence. First, he would rather have just one day in God's temple courts than 1,000 anywhere else on earth. He doesn't need to hold a special position among the priests or offer special offerings or go into the most sacred part of the temple. He is content to stand for one day in the outer courts. For him, there is no place on earth, even if he could spend 1,000 days there, nowhere on earth that he would rather be. Just think about that for a moment. Who here hasn't longed to be in some exotic location like Hawaii? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Are you grasping the intensity of his longing for God's presence? He would rather be in the stone courts out in the hot sun in the temple for one day than to spend 1,000 days in your favorite location. How about you? Where would you rather be? What is your longing for? And secondly, he would rather open and close the temple gates for other people than to live what appears to be a good life with people who have no use for God. The writer knows that what God offers cannot be bought with money or found in relationships. True life, true intimacy, true security, undeserved love and mercy are only gifts that are found in God. And we all know, we will all know those gifts because God does not withhold good things from those who stay on the path and set their minds on a pilgrimage with and to God. So, church family, have you decided what you are longing for? Is it a temple or the presence of the living God? I invite you to sing our last verse of praise together. Holy Spirit, from creation's birth, giving life to all that God has made, show your power once again on earth. Cause your church to hunger for your ways. Holy Spirit, from creation's birth, giving life to all that God has made. Show your power. Show your power once again on earth. Cause your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Lead us on the road of sacrifice. That in unity the face of Christ may be clear for all the world to see. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Lead us on the road of sacrifice, and that in unity the face of Christ may be clear for all the world to see. Holy Spirit, breath of God, breathe new life. Thank you.
life in me.
Testament, in a few different places, in a few different letters written by Paul, we are told that as people who have placed our faith in Jesus and by the power of his Holy Spirit, we have become God's holy temple. It isn't about a building that we go to in order to find God's presence anymore. It is about a temple that God has built in our hearts. The same God that we read about at the beginning of the service in Psalm 104, the one who created the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, and all the living things on the earth, great and small, the God that breathed life into all things and then sustains it with food and rain, the same God whose holy presence could destroy creation at his touch or from his glance. That is the living God who resides in us. We don't have to travel to find his presence. He is here. That should give some weight to the opening verse of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place. O Lord of heaven's armies. Church family, that holy temple is now you. Let's pray. Abba Father, we acknowledge that every one of us, everyone of living age,
is on a pilgrimage. Life is a pilgrimage towards you, and this morning we have heard of a man's passion for your living presence, a longing that was so intense he felt like his entire being was aching to be with you. Father, by your Spirit, would you bless us with this same longing for you? Forgive us for our self-effort. Forgive us for choosing to stay in the valley of weeping, that place where we tried to get into your presence without you. Pour out your refreshing rain, your abundance of your Spirit upon your people, O God. May we never forget that the journey to you, O Lord, can only be accomplished with you. Jesus, be our deepest longing. In your name we pray. Amen.